Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. Just a week ago, Peter was a hero. God had come to his disciples and say, or Jesus had come to his disciples and said, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, some say you're Elijah, and others say you're John the Baptist." And then Jesus said to his disciples, "But who do you say that I am?" In a rare moment of faith and clarity, Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God, the living God. You are the one." And Jesus says, "Well done, Peter. Upon you I will build my church. You are the rock." Just a few verses later, not even a chapter, not even two paragraphs later, Jesus begins to tell the disciples what his messiahship, his Son of Godness, will look like. He tells them the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem, and he will be handed over to those in authority, and he will be killed, and he will suffer, and he will be raised. And Peter the rock takes Jesus aside and says, "No way. I cannot accept that." Just a few verses before, it seemed as if Peter had gotten it, and now all of a sudden, he just cannot accept what Jesus says, because it doesn't fit with his vision of a Messiah. Well, Peter's not that unusual. I would guess that every one of us has some picture in our mind about who Jesus is and what Jesus is all about. Sometimes it's even based on Scripture, right? You have a vision of Jesus, maybe, and of God that was developed over years of biblical study and Bible study and meaningful, not so much. Sometimes it's based on other stuff. So it's interesting. One of the predominant pictures of Jesus and his messiahship that wanders around the world these days is this picture of Jesus as the one who will make us wealthy and healthy and fine. In this picture of Jesus' messiahship, Jesus comes into the world, and we know that Jesus is in the world and in our lives because, well, we can see it. We have plenty of stuff, and we're happy, and we seem, quote, blessed. It's a prosperity gospel that really accentuates the positiveness of Jesus, and there's only like one problem with it. When I've heard people exclaim this, I have to ask them the question, have you ever actually read about Jesus? Like in the Bible? Because that Jesus is awfully hard to find. There's all kinds of pictures of Jesus that we develop in our head. Again, some of them have been informed through Scripture and conversation, some through the traditions of the church. What kind of Jesus do you have in your head? I grew up with Augsburg Fortress Jesus, who was just a little too white and a little too good looking. He looked a lot like a 1970s rock star in a white robe. A few years back, a forensic anthropologist put together sort of a, an amalgam of stuff from anthropological studies about what did people look like in the region where Jesus was supposedly from. And they published this composite drawing, sort of like, you know, the wanted posters for Jesus. And in that picture of Jesus, Jesus is got kind of messy, dark hair. He has olive skin. He has kind of a bulbous nose and a kind of messy half beard. No one liked that version of Jesus. He just didn't quite fit with our picture. Well, sometimes our picture of Jesus, the way we want to name the Messiah, might be a little at odds with what God has in mind. And that's what happens to Peter. For Peter, perhaps his vision of the Messiah was one that would meet power with power. The Roman government had overtaken all of Jerusalem and the whole area, and there was hope, at least among the Zionists, that the new Messiah would come and would overpower, overdo, just be more than the Romans, and get rid of them. If that's what Peter was looking for, there's no real mystery why he was upset when Jesus said, well, the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to die. Whoa, 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 whoa. How's that going to help, Jesus? What you really need to do is you need to get all of us together, because there's a lot of us Jewish people around, and you need to get us some arms, and we need to all gather together, and we need to overthrow power against power, might against might. It's the only way. Peter can't envision anything different. How often is our picture of God and our name of God and our picture of Jesus and our faith really just trying to take the way the world is and do more of it? But Jesus proposes something radically different. That the way for him to be the Messiah and for the world to change is to be emptied out. Too often we in the church are a lot like Peter. We have a hard time envisioning some other way. As a matter of fact, every time we have a thought or a good idea within the church, what's the first thing we do? Thank you. We create a committee. And what is the function of a committee? Well, to make sure that nothing happens. That's not true. But we do. We form a committee, and then we do what with it, at least in the Lutheran church? We talk about it while we study it. It only took us 20 years of study to get through the human sexuality statement. That is a positive rush. So we study it, and then what do? We what? We study it some more. That's only if it's a really vexing problem. Actually, what we usually do is we employ the exact same methodologies and work that we have been doing for the last 100 years, but we figure if we just do more of it and we do it better, it'll change everything.
We tried that before.
That's how you kill the committee. But yeah, we just keep doing it over and over again, but if we do it more and we do it better, it'll somehow change something. That's what Peter wants. Peter says, look, violence and overthrow and military works for the Romans. We ought to try it. But Jesus recognizes something radically different. That it's only in love that anything changes. Doing the same thing even more and better simply doesn't do anything in the long run. our picture of Jesus and our picture of ministry needs more than a casual overhaul. The problem that Peter has is that Peter cannot imagine what Jesus has in mind. And I wonder if we can either. I had a 2.5-hour meeting with our dean, Pastor Catherine, mostly to talk about the 500th anniversary, but every single time we get together, we talk about our ministry in Hawaii and what's happening here. And we are both professional lamenters. And I said, well, what if we envisioned something completely different? What if we envisioned a ministry in Hawaii that just didn't look like it does now? What if we thought about a ministry in which all of us were one body in Christ, working together with our resources and our gifts and all of that kind of good stuff, all gathered together instead of having silos here and silos there, and this church not sure if they're going to survive, and this one being quite sure they're going to survive, and this church over here not caring whether anybody survives. What if we all were about the ministry of Christ? And Pastor Catherine said, get thee behind me, Satan. No, she didn't. We just don't have the imagination. Instead, we just want to keep pouring the same fuel on the same dying embers and hope that the fire will be lit and not consumed. Paul had a vision for what it might be like for the church. I've often thought this would be a really good one to read at the beginning of every single year, this text from Romans, because I imagine that we should all have the same reaction to this text that probably the church in Rome did. When Paul says, let your love be genuine, hate what is evil, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another, showing honor, and do not lag in zeal, and be ardent in the Spirit. That one knocks me out every time. Can you imagine ardent Lutherans? It's hard to imagine. But what if we had not only the vision, but the imagination and the courage to enter into a partnership in ministry, not only with one another, but with other faith communities, with other religions, to do what we are most called to do, which is to serve. Jesus called his disciples and calls us to the radical notion of being poured out for the sake of the world, to take up our cross and follow, to bless those who persecute us, to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, and to live in harmony with one another, to take all that is noble in the sight of all. Just a week ago, Peter got it. And he was the rock upon whom this God, whose name is I Am, would build God's church. A week later, Peter is so much like us. Imagine if he could see with the eyes of Jesus that what will come ahead will be a change for the world in love, and that together we will be the body of Christ, carrying our cross for the sake of the world.